Authoritarian Democracy and Democratic Authoritarianism. For a part of the world that doesn't have a lot of freedom, the Middle East certainly has a lot of elections that count. On May 16th, Kuwaitis elected a new parliament, sending women to the chamber for the first time. On June 7th, Lebanese will go to the polls, and 5 days later, Iranians will have their turn. Kuwaiti's election of four women was a surprise even to close observers, who had watched all the female candidates go to defeat in elections just a year ago. Handicappers have expectations for the elections next month, an uneasy tie between the pro and anti-Hezbollah factions in Lebanon, and a photo finish in Iran. But what makes these elections so interesting is that their outcomes are truly unknown. In much of the region, the results are foregone conclusions. Rulers are not about to allow challengers, and victory margins of 20, 40, or even 90% are commonplace. But these countries are different. The countries that have meaningful elections aren't the most liberal ones by any means. Kuwait and Iran both ban alcohol, have largely separate university systems for men and women, and take religious law to be the bedrock of legislation. Lebanon is more libertine, but in many parts of the country, religious rule is ascendant. For many Americans, this is a paradox. We see elections as manifestations of liberalism, yet Middle Eastern elections rarely produce liberal outcomes. Conservative forces, often cloaked in an air of religious legitimacy, tend to do well. Their success is due in part to their superior level of organization, their greater outreach, and the importance they attach to the elections themselves. Conservative figures in the Middle East, like conservatives everywhere in the world, also play on a sense of authenticity in a rapidly changing and often confusing world. This is not the season of religious parties, however. Voters want results, not rhetoric, and a decade's worth of religious parties' ascendance has meant that these parties have an increasingly difficult time distancing themselves from responsibility for the status quo in many countries. In addition, many Middle Eastern governments have become adept at splitting religious oppositions, co-opting some part, and repressing others in order to prevent the creation of a powerful opposition bloc in the legislature. Despite all the elections, those actually ruling these countries have remained firmly in control, and they've tried to create environments in which legislatures have responsibility without authority. Indeed, when people talk of the government in most parts of the Middle East, they almost exclusively mean the executive branch. Kings, emirs, and presidents rule, and legislatures endorse that rule. Criticizing the ruler remains taboo in many countries, and questioning the ruler's legitimacy is almost unthinkable. If that's the case, then why do all of these elections matter? There are several reasons. First of all, elections are an indicator of the popular will, even in countries without truly democratic rule. Even the world's most authoritarian leaders keep close tabs on what their people think, and elections, both in terms of outcomes and turnout, are important indicators of that. Successful campaign themes, especially by opposition candidates, can serve as harbingers of danger for governments. Similarly, especially high or especially low turnouts are signs that something's amiss. Second, elections can help spur public debate and vet new ideas. While legislators' ability to force adoption of those ideas is quite limited, elections can help expand the solution set that governments consider. But third, and most important, elected officials are slowly gaining more influence in the Middle East. With the rise of regional media on the one hand and informal media such as the internet, blogs, and text messages on the other, elected officials have a growing ability to shape public debate in such a way that it certainly constrains government policy and, in the most positive sense, begins to help shape it. Elected officials are necessarily interested in the actions of governments, and they speak about them. While many are loyal to the government, many are not, and they have an increasingly diverse set of outlets for their dissenting opinions. All of this has not produced democracy. Elected officials often demagogue on issues more than they analyze them. In many cases, elected officials, from Kuwaiti parliamentarians to the president of Iran, have shown a single-minded determination to maximize the subsidies delivered to citizens rather than make hard choices about resource allocations. All that is, perhaps, to be expected. But electoral uncertainty in the Middle East, on top of all the other uncertainties that governments face, helps leaven a governmental process that has often been slow and leaden. Elections can do little by themselves, but the uncertainty surrounding them creates expectations of change. From that expectation, change may come.